when does a woman become Anita in the birthing process, and if
father, the husband, should be in the delivery room when the baby's coming out.
I prefer the whiskey bells thing.
We could have a post-year whiskey drinking party somewhere if you want. Hey, Dan. No problem. No problem. No problem. No. Okay. So, tonight we're going to speak about the husband's presence when a woman is giving birth, when a woman is giving birth. As we get to that, we're going to tackle at what point does a woman giving birth become a nida, where all touching is forbidden. So there's basically three different categories that are discussed in the poskim, different stages, I should say, different stages where a woman may assume the status of a nida or may not. So the first obvious point in this discussion is when the water breaks. Okay? Okay, we're starting by which point in the delivery process does a woman become a nida. So there's three possible stages: the water breaking, in labor, and of course when the baby is on its way out. So the first source we'll look at is the Badei HaShulchan, Rafai Abel Cohen, and all this is in Yoredei in the post given Kuf Tzadik Dalid. And he holds that when the water breaks, when a woman's water breaks, she assumes the status of a nida, and all contact becomes forbidden. But very interestingly, he said there's no classical source for this. That's what he says. He says this is the minhag of Morei Hora. To say this is the way the rabbis paskin, that when a woman's water breaks, she assumes the status of a nida, but it's noted there is no classical source that connects the breaking of the water and nida status. But of course, not everyone agrees to this. And Nishmas Avram, as you have over there, I have my note sheet and the regular sheet, I guess, have them side by side. The Nishmas Avram quotes, of course, of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And if Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says when the water breaks, she simply does a bedika. If there's blood, she's a nida. And there's no blood, she assumes she continues to be tar. She's permissible. And the Tara Sabbais by Rabbi Avadia Yosef is also very makel. When the water breaks, it's not an automatic nida situation. She does a bedika, and you decide from there. Okay? So that is basically the machlokas when the water breaks. The Pisrei Megadim, which I didn't get for this evening, but I did look it up during the week, and Perek Chavtes, has a whole list of different opinions, of different stages. Very interesting, of when she might become a nida or not. Those who are interested in taking this further, with the water breaking and other stages and getting to the hospital, whatever it might be, the Pisrei Megadim is a very interesting source to look at. Fine, that's the water breaking. Next, oh, by the way, Rav Mordechai Willig also says that the water breaking is not nida status. He also holds and teaches his Talmidim this way, I'm told, that the lady does a bedika and there's no blood, she continues to be tahor. Two, labor. A woman is more in labor, it's more than the water has broken already. By the way, why am I doing this? My wife is due in 2 or 3 weeks, so just, yeah, this is one of the reasons that got me going. So it's very personal this evening, because I'm thinking of the stages I'm going to have to face in the coming days. So she's in labor, the water is broken, but there's no baby yet, so it's in between. Okay? So there is discussion in the poskim even after the water breaks, according to the approach that she's not nida even after the water breaks. What about further along in the process? So it's very interesting, as in Yoredei and Kuf Tzadik Dalid, the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is a yoledes has the status of a nida. But what is a yoledes? A woman who has given birth. Okay, and that's what's mashma from his wording itself. When the Yoredei and Shulchan Aruch talks about, the Shulchan Aruch talks about a nida in the birth process, the words the Shulchan Aruch uses yoledes, and the it seems, in the context of things, that Yoledes is a woman who has given birth. Okay? And by the way, very significant, that a Yoledes is always a nida, even if no blood was seen at the birth. Okay? It's highly unlikely, but the poskim do deal with it. And we say there's a rule that whenever the uterus opens, we assume the blood has come out. Even if you don't see blood, we assume the blood has come out of a woman's anita. But what's very interesting is that tumas yoledes is not exactly tumas nida. They're very independent of each other. They're independent. This is one example. Mazal tov, had a baby girl this Shabbos. Baby girl. We're all invited to the kiddush sometime soon. Okay. Mazal tov. So tumas yoledes is not always tumas nida. They're not synonymous. They're independent. And a woman who gives birth, even if she doesn't see blood, is still tamei. But I want to expand slightly as to what is that definition of yoledes. What is the yoledes? Because like I said, the Shulchan Aruch Lashon seems to say that only once she's given birth, she's definitely nida. That's what it seems to say. Now, you have over there in your paper, in Or HaChaim, Simen Shin Lamed, it talks about yoledes. And it makes the situation a little bit more clear. Listen closely, because we'll need it for the Igros Moshe that we're going to go into in a moment. And I read, I quote, Hilcha Shabbos Simen Shin Lamed, Halacha Gimel. Nikres Yoledes, she is called the Yoledes, the Chalel Aleya Shabbos. We Machal Shabbos for a woman giving birth. Mishateshev ala Mashber, when she sits, lies down to give birth. O Misha Shadam Shotet Vyored, or she's bleeding, which is obvious. O Misha Shechavroteha Nosotota Bizroteha. Or at the point where a woman requires her friends to help her walk, she can no longer walk. So if you look in Or HaChaim, if you compare and contrast the Yoredeah citation, the Or HaChaim citation, we see it's not so clear when a woman is actually Yoledes. We see from Or HaChaim where Machal Shabbos, even if the ladies have to help her, she can't walk by herself anymore, or she's lying in bed. Okay. So, with that in mind, the Achronim discuss, the Poskim discuss, do we say that once a woman is Mechal Shabbosabo, once she qualifies that we Mechal Shabbos on her behalf, does she automatically assume the status of Anita? Do those two things go together? So you have over here the Sidrei Tahara versus the Noda Yehuda, and both are cited in the Badi HaShulchan earlier on that I mentioned. And Sidrei Tahara says like this, that the Gemara seems to say, I think it's Nida Daf Chaf Chaf Aleph, the Gemara seems to say that once a woman is in labor, her uterus is opened. And once the uterus is opened, we assume the blood has come out as well. And therefore, once she's in the pains of labor, even if there's no blood, of course, because again, follow the steps, because if there's blood way back when the water broke, she's anita. But even though there's no blood till now, so Sidrei Tahara says once she has the status of yoledes, and we'll go with a more stricter interpretation that she has to lie in the bed or the women are helping her walk. Once she's at that stage, her uterus is open, and therefore we have to consider her anita. Now the Noda Yehuda, also cited there in Badei HaShulchan, has a very fascinating take on this principle. The principle of when a woman's uterus opens, we assume blood comes out. So Noda Yehuda says something I didn't see anywhere else. And he says like this, when does the rule that when the kever opens, we assume the blood came out? When the rechem opens, we assume the blood came out? Only, he says, if something came out, something was extracted, something was released. He says the rule that whenever the uterus opens, blood comes out, is only if there's something else that comes out along with it, the opening. Not the opening alone. Most poskim seem to learn that anytime we have an opening, like a woman goes for a gynecological exam, there's an opening of the rechem, of the kever, or the uterus, however you want to call it. We assume that she's a nida in most cases, because once the uterus opens, but Noda Yehuda has, like I said, I never saw this before, but he has a take, a very definitive take, that the uterus opening alone, the fact that it opens alone, is not a raya, she's a nida. It's only if something is released, other than blood, of course. Even if something is released other than blood, i.e. like a baby, okay? Something. Right, that's what it's, right.
Certainly not conventional, although all the poskim assume that it's a psychic spirit, that's it.
Yeah. You're right. Again, I didn't see a Noda Yehuda inside, but the Badei HaShulchan takes it that the Noda Yehuda disagrees. He just says Noda Yehuda disagrees with Tahara and says it's only when something is released along with the opening of the uterus that we say Nida. He's right. Okay, he's right. You never pass give him a second.
There's
a, yeah. I don't know Rabbi Five Cohen too well. But of course, you can never pass from secondary sources. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not arguing with you. It seems to be. You're right. It seems to be against a blatant Gemara. As I mentioned, I didn't see this anywhere else. And it's like you said, the Gemara needed a Chaf and Chaf Aleph. And yeah, it's a shocker. Like I said, I never saw it anywhere else. But he cites it, and I share it with you. And indeed, normative halacha is not like that. But that's what he says. But one significant point you bring up, though, we're talking a bit of a radical approach, like it's not normative halacha. But the reason this might be significant, and why other posts might take it as a sniff lahakel, is because a woman in birth, as we're going to see by the Igros Moshe and the Minchas Yitzchak, she needs her husband's help very often. So the only reason we want a cool if a woman's going out of her mind, she's going, you know, she's very scared, she's, you know, whatever it might be, and she needs her husband's help. So the post can do look for other sniffim lahakel. So it's no the view that might be. You know, at Saad Lahakel. Let's hear what Moshe Feinstein says. This is the Igros Moshe. This is standard normative halacha, according to all accounts. It's in Chelek Yordei, Chelek Beis, as you see over there, Ayin Hei. So let's see. So Moshe says in the Tshuva, V'davar Masha Ishto Rotza Liasnura B'Shas Leidasa. A woman wants to be awake, she wants to be distracted, she wants to be her mind off her pain, off her situation. Mitam she'omrim she'yu ha'chevlei leida kalimat. She thinks that, you know, having her mind distracted will make the process a little bit easier. The husband being around will keep her mind off the pain. If you would ask me, Rav Moshe says, lo yisim ya'etz l'sois davar zeh. Again, this is talking about should the husband be present in the delivery room. But Moshe says, if you ask me, I would not advise for the husband to be present in the delivery room. Ki chevle leida hem gedolim. The birth pains are so intense, are so serious. Shelo yoyo heisachadas. Whatever the husband might be able to help distract her, really is not significant. Doesn't take her mind off the pain so much. V'raku inyin harama haram. Arma ba'alma, it's just you're playing a game. Achim ha'isha rotza b'kach. If a woman really wants her husband present, ein bazed davar iser, to be in the delivery room. Okay, here's my second page. Ubedavar im yeken. Im roshei ha'bal ligaba. Could a husband touch his wife during the delivery? But Moshe is basically mirroring the Orach Chaim, the Hilchos Shabbos citation, and Moshe is saying if she's in her bed for a while after the water broke, you don't know what time, at what point she becomes a Yoledes. We don't know when she's so much in labor she can't walk on her own, which according to the Shulchan Aruch citation we saw in Hilchos Shabbos, that's defined as a Yoledes, which according to most posting would define her as a need as well. Rav Moshe is saying, when you're in the hospital bed for so long, once the water breaks, you don't know at what point you assume the status of your yoledes. So you have to assume early on that a woman is in labor to the point that she's in nida.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Back, like,
yes.
Before we get to the hospital, at the stage that the woman becomes a stage of kuvat nefesh, does the kuvat nefesh override the nida? So, for example, if
you never override the
nida. I understand. So I'm just saying, in a practical case of like your wife in a suddenly, a water break, whatever you define her as
a nida,
you can help her into the car, hold her hand, that kind of thing, or you
could
waste a second and get someone off
to her. It is bikuach nefesh. You do everything you can immediately. If it's not bikuach nefesh, and she's a nida according to all opinions, but there's still time, you have to...
But a nida in childbirth is bikuach, I thought that was classified as...
Well, you're going back a stage. So going on your premise of right after water breaks. So let's say you want to take the lenient approach that says, no, water breaking is not automatically. Neither you do a bdika. If there's blood, yes. If no blood, no. So if there's blood, yes. She's a neither according to all accounts. So a woman knows if it's kuf nefesh or not. You know, is it how much pain, how are the contractions, what are the space between the contractions. You'll decide for yourself on the spot if it's kuf nefesh or not. You get your wife in the car and you help her physically, personally. If not, you get the mother-in-law involved or whatever it might be. Okay? We'll get to touching, and the Minchas Yitzchak has more on touching a woman in birth, touching your wife in birth. But Rav Moshe says you have to be machmir because we don't know what point she's past the level of Yoledes. Okay? Regarding Nida, Neseres Misha Yoshva La Mashber, as soon as she has to be lying on her bed, the point that she has to put in the bed, do the pains of the contractions of the delivery, she has to, she's a dinida. So I am Sidrei Tahara, which I spoke out from the Badi HaShulchan, Simen Kuf, Tzadik Dalet, Sifko, and Chafei, V'gamesik Shalab Dat, G'yesh V'almashber, not only she has to be forced into bed, Ala Miyad, Shach Zuha, Tziri, V'chevli Leida, once the pains have taken hold of her, M'vakeshet La'vila Chachma, you have to bring her a nursing lady, a midwife, Tzarich Habal Izarba, from that point on, a man cannot touch his wife. V'vadai Lav Yeshiva, Samashber, Gorm Psichas HaKever, it's not simply having to lie in a bed that you assume the kever, the uterus, is open. Now, as you're getting closer and closer to the actual birth, so she has to be forced into bed. Probably if the midwife was there, she would have been put in earlier in the bed. I have to take that into consideration. If the midwife would have been there, she would have put her in the bed earlier. And therefore, she's a nida earlier. And of course, again, we see from Reb Moshe all three definitions we saw in Orach Chaim and Hilchos Shabbos. Again, regarding Mechal Shabbos, we see in Reb Moshe's Tshuva. That's what I find very fascinating. Without saying it directly, Reb Moshe is taking all three definitions we saw being Mechal Shabbos and he's applying them to Hilchos Nida. So indeed, back to my original question, is the point where Mechal Shabbos for a woman assumes she has a Din Nida? According to Reb Moshe, the answer is clearly yes. Any of those definitions in Orach Chaim, where a woman is called the Yoledes, has a din anida as well, they are synonymous. They are, you know, they correlate. Okay, fine, continuing, regarding presence in the delivery room. If the husband could be there to supervise, make sure everything's going right, to strengthen his wife, encourage his wife, he named yet sorech if there's a need for it. Any role is there? I don't see any prohibition. Even if there's really no need, but she wants her husband there anyways, any roi iser. I don't find an iser on it. A man is not allowed to watch the baby come out of the birth canal. Man is forbidden to look at the covered places on his wife when she's anida. And looking at a woman's intimate place is always forbidden. But if you're going to be careful not to look, again, Reb Moshe says it's okay to be present with your wife when she is having her baby. Some hospital groups have a mirror. You can watch the baby come out from where you're standing. That too is forbidden. So very interesting over here, Reb Moshe permits a husband to be with his wife during delivery with some hesitancy. Ideally, only if the woman demands it. And then he's allowed to be there. But he says, even if she doesn't demand it, or if it's not so needed, but he chooses to be there for whatever reason, he says, it's no issur. I don't know, but what I did find out in advance of this evening is that Shari Tzedek does not allow the husbands. They don't allow the husbands to be present in the delivery room. Is Shari Tzedek? Yeah, a doctor told me. I heard this from a doctor. Okay, it's official policy, but
he's not even there by the delivery.
Yeah, it's true, right? Yeah. That's what I was told. Shari Tzedek has a rule, no husbands. That's what I was told. Maybe it's wrong. I was told that by a doctor. Could be. It probably is on the paper, on the books. That's the official policy, but they don't enforce it.
Oh,
probably. Yeah, probably that's enforced. And Bnei Brak, Mayne Yeshua, it's probably more enforced that the husband shouldn't be in the room. Now, it would be remiss for me not to mention that in the preparation of the shiur, I did come across poskim, both in writing and Baal Peh, that actually permit a husband to watch the baby come out of the birth canal. But since that is certainly not normative halacha, I'm not going to say where I saw it or their arguments for it. That was one of the sources, but I don't want to go into it. One of the sources, but again, in deference I'm not hiding anything. It's not normative of halacha, but anyways, I came across this for the first time in preparation for this evening. I saw in another printed source as well I shouldn't say, you know, permissive stance, but more lenient approach to it. But again, most rabbis forbid this, including the rabbi of this congregation. I'm not arguing the case either way. We had a last paragraph from Moshe's Tshuva where he says the husband's forbidden to see it. I'm saying I agree, that's normative halacha. I'm happy to tell you that I came across, in preparation for this year, other poskim that seem to give a different approach. But again, always ask your local Orthodox rabbi before doing anything that you hear here or that you see in any secondary source, whatever it might be. Fine. Physical contact during delivery. Yeah. Sorry, what'd you say? Okay, the approach generally we see why the husband shouldn't be there is because he'll come to touch his wife and violate the Surah Nida, Har Chakos. That's why. Right, but your woman's in such distress, we're worried that you might come to touch her, help her. And you might see something you shouldn't. Again, I make it very clear, but Yamin, you hear what I'm saying? The vast majority of poskim are opposed to any man looking at the baby coming out of the birth canal, a husband looking at the baby emerge, and that is indeed normative halacha, and therefore the poskim are worried that if you're present in the delivery room through a beer or through standing in the wrong place, you will see it.
But once again, sorry to get back to my question, in the delivery room, but not only is she needed, but she's also looking for her nefesh.
Yeah, but there's doctors and nurses can help her. She doesn't need you.
I understand, but it doesn't always work like that. I've been in a few births. And sometimes, you know, they want you to help and do things and pass them. Okay, so the question is, if it's the work devish, why can't you pass it? If your wife wants a drink and then there's another room for a second, can you pass it then? If she's the work devish?
No, the truth is.
There's no one else there.
But Darren, the truth is, there's something wrong with the medical system. The husband is needed for people with nefesh in the delivery room. There's something wrong with the system. Because pikuch nefesh is a very drastic situation. It's a very drastic box. If you're going to get to that situation in the living room,
you're missing the point. Because the whole situation is past pikuch nefesh, not just past a glass of water, which is not a life or death situation, but the whole situation is pikuch nefesh. That everything to keep your wife satisfied is part of it, even if she wants a glass of water. So can you pass it?
We're going to see the Minchas Yitzchak on that momentarily.
I never did that, by the way.
Yeah. No, it doesn't matter. If they tell me what you do, you don't do it. It doesn't matter. We're going to see the Minchas Yitzchak in a moment. But related to what you're saying is the next point. But we'll see in a moment exactly in the delivery room. What? Yes. No, of course, but the poskim assume that there's enough nurses and midwives and doctors around that a husband's input is not needed at the stage of pikuach nefesh. Sure, it's needed for convenience and comfort and whatever it might be. But to say that it's needed for pikuach nefesh, that's a stretch. There's something wrong with the medical system. If the husband's not there, the woman has a chance of dying. That's a very serious, you know, state of disrepair of our medical system.
Pikuach nefesh means that the delivery is taking place in the house.
Okay, now, the Rama Kuf Tzadikei is very famous for saying if a woman needs her husband's help, she's sick, in certain situations the husband is allowed to help her. Okay, you have it right there. You have it right there on the page, you can look it up. It's a very short Rama, and he lets a husband help, and there's nobody else. But all the poskim discuss this Rama, and literally all the poskim, and all the poskim seem to say that no, there's enough nurses and doctors around, there's no need to resort to this Rama. Right, it's on the second page. Yeah, sorry, it's still on the first page. Where are we? Yeah, should the bottom five physical contact during delivery? The Rama over there. That is the source of the famous Rama. That is the famous Rama that says a husband can help his wife when she's in need of nobody else. But all the poskim, the Shevet Alevi, the Igros Moshe, the Minchasir, like everyone talks about this Rama and says, black and white, it does not apply to the delivery room. Because it says there's enough nurses and doctors that the husband's input for pikuach nefesh is unjustifiable. Okay. So, it seems that regarding the husband's presence in the delivery room, and we're on the next page now, It seems that the poskim do ultimately allow it, or I should say not forbid it, but with various degrees of enthusiasm and reservations. Okay? And we saw Rav Moshe Feinstein, who prefers it not be done, but says there's ultimately no prohibition in doing so. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, cited in the Nishmas Avram, says he discourages it, but if the wife is scared, it's permissible. And surprisingly enough, Binyamin, the B'nai Banim is actually against a blanket husbands may be in the delivery room. He is actually very opposed to it, and the principle that a husband has to be there. But he talks in great length, it's very worth for this alone, the B'nai Banim citation, it goes in great length, psychology needs, psychological needs of a woman in labor. He goes into a big arichas in that, and says for psychological issues, if a woman needs it, a husband could be there. But surprisingly enough, he's one of the strictest in this particular issue. Of a husband being present in the delivery room, he's more strict than the most poskim in black on white, that he's against a blanket permission. He also says, interestingly, he's against hospitals saying no. Any hospital says blanketly, no, husband cannot be in the delivery room, it's also problematic. It's also not right. The woman has psychological different needs and different fears. So sometimes the husband really has to be there. Okay. So the Minchas Yitzchak, about being present in the delivery room. Let's take a look at this Minchas Yitzchak. And he says like this. What I did like this, let me explain what you have in front of you. You have about 25% of Minchas Yitzchak, and by the way, the Igros Moshe and Minchas Yitzchak is courtesy of Bar Ilan through the channels of the Patches family, that we have the Igros Moshe and the Minchas Yitzchak on the page over here, the Bar Ilan CD. What I did here is I cut out the main piece. Not the main piece, I should say, but what you have in front of you, the first paragraph is a Rav who writes to Minchas Yitzchak arguing why it should be okay for a man to touch his wife, who's a nida during pregnancy, during childbirth. And the second paragraph is why the Minchas Yitzchak vehemently disagrees. So Yom Aleph, Parshas Vayechi, okay, fine. Valderich Ritzono, She'echtov Chavos Dadian, right? My humble opinion you're asking for. Being in Masha'arich Bikuntraso, you sent me a paper arguing, B'davar Isha Medes Leled, a woman is giving birth, V'hisovels Michulsha Satzavim, she's very nervous. We talk pachad visure haleda, he wrote shabal yafsik yadea yada beis haleda. So this is discussing a husband holding his wife's hand during the pregnancy, the childbirth. Lamet said rucha to strengthen her. Imutur lo v'achrei harichus. After you went on about this, say siyem kvot raso bezaloshin, and this is the psak of the rabbi writing the Minchas Yitzchak. Ulam the fima sevi apisre tshuvasham. B'shem Sefer Mekor Chaim, Shehoru Hamor Maniach Beged Al Hadofek. There are certain situations that a husband has to take a wife's pulse. He should do it through the chatzitza of a Beged. Okay, as we're going to see soon, also gloves is a chatzitza. A man should wear gloves if he has to take the pulse of his wife. V'az mutra lebalu lemashesh hadofek al oso Beged amapsik. And the husband could take the pulse through the garment, the gloves, whatever it might be. That's an interposition, a chatzitza, between the man's hand and his wife's body.
But that's assuming that it can work equally well. Like it can do it.
If there's no pikuch nefesh, it's just a whole shame bosakana probably. So he wants to say this rabbi writing. This is Rabbi Grossness, as you see at the top, dying in London. So he wants to suggest it's okay, put on a glove. He's touching her with a covered hand with a glove. This will serve to calm her and give her strength. You can't touch her directly because there's no pikuach nefesh, like you just asked, Mr. Bell. Perhaps through the cloth or the glove, yesh lahat here. I feel the whole shame of sakana, that a woman who's not in danger but still it's helpful for the husband to touch her, use a glove. Even the love hachi nagia, he the lo havi nagia mamish, it's not mamish touching. Perhaps it's the case when the husband's going to take the pulse, it's like no one else can do it. The mutter kamoshala ramasham, like the ramah says in Yoredeh. As we said, the famous Ramah, that a husband could help his wife when she's in need in certain situations. So that is one approach. The Minchas Yitzchak answers, Tavna ledina lenizdaiti daf mendida on the dan ein heter yedei bate yadaim. There's a whole arichas over there, very interesting arichas actually, which I didn't have room to put here, But he says in the end, no, there's no heter with the gloves. He says even more so. Even when it's a pikuach nefesh mamish, even when it's a pikuach nefesh mamish, you should use the gloves. Ukfar arachti v'sifri in min chasitz rachel v'dalad b'mayidei chashash tiru fadash al acholal. If a woman is really going, she's really, you know, not comfortable, she's out of control, she's very nervous. Nech shav zakana in sham. Aval kol zeim be'emez yesh lachush latiru fadas. Aval nashim daitin kalos, he says. By very strong language. A woman who needs her husband is a wimp, is ultimately what he's saying. You know, she's a wimp. She's diet and kalos. Yesh lachush mevakshin ken mishum kalos hadas. She's probably asking for her husband because she's, you know, kalos hadas. Velo mishum tiruf hadas. She's not really going out of her mind. She's just, you know, kalos hadas. Vayim b'tshuvas harei b'samim shehuva b'sifrisham da'achrei sherich b'nidono v'siyam lahatir chilu shabbos b'sod rabbanon. For a woman in birth, this is very interesting, and we'll get to it in a moment, maybe in more depth, that for Yoledes, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. It's sometimes more lenient than regular Cholet. Bishum Chashav Tiruv Savdas. Siyam Bezalosh Nulam Inyin Zeh Masur Lamore Horo Kefitzor HaChasha Shalol Haka Budavar Laman Leizalza Hamon Bekush HaShabbos Chasav Shalom, etc. Okay. So he's against, very clearly, the idea of using gloves to touch your wife when she's not in Bikuach Nefesh. Even when she is in Bikuach Nefesh, even then, Davka, that's when she should be with gloves. Or another interposition. So that is the Minchas Yitzchak. I saw in the Journal of Contemporary Society in Halacha, there's an article by Rabbi Dr. Avram Steinberg, which discusses this Minchas Yitzchak. And says Minchas Yitzchak is I'll be science, I'll be medicine wrong, that there is severe psychological needs for a woman to have a companion during delivery. It's not merely kalos hadas. So, ayin sham for, again, psychological benefits of having a companion in delivery.
I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong. I'm saying that you have to make an objective assessment.
By
whether it's just tighter collars or is a realtor for that.
But you see, he's blankly saying.
It just because she says so doesn't mean that it is that way.
Right. But
he's saying that if you make an assessment that it is that way. He says twice clearly.
The only reason women need their husband by delivery is because of kalos hadas, and not because of real tiruf hadas.
If this is a chash tiruf hadas, it's called a sakana. But just because the woman says she needs it doesn't necessarily mean it's really tiruf hadas, because sometimes
you think
the world is coming to an end.
Right, but most women, when they're going to ask for their husbands, automatically he's going to say it's a kalos hadas, it's not tiruf hadas. I see him saying I see him almost brushing it that almost any situation a woman asks for her husband it's kalos hadas, not for anything more serious. But yes, if there's a more serious.
He's not saying it the other way. Not every single situation where she asks for her husband should override it means that it's absent
from
an assessment. Okay. It could be that it is.
Yeah.
You have to make an objective assessment.
Yeah. Okay, but the assumption is that a woman who's a, you know, Yerid Shemayim, a firm lady, she knows her husband can't touch her. She knows. It's a non-issue. Ultimately, what I'm saying is it's a non-issue. The husband knows what his responsibilities are. The woman, the Yerid Shemayim, also knows what her responsibilities are. Knows she's a, you know, what's permissible, what's not permissible. It's a non-issue, really. Okay? Okay, the Bnei Bonim, which we quoted in Chelek Aleph, Simon Lamed Gimel, he has also an arichas there where we spoke of psychological needs, but another reason why a husband might want to be in the delivery room with his wife, because he can advocate for his wife's needs better. Okay, the spokesperson. Doctors and nurses do their job, they make sure no one's dying, make sure baby's coming out healthy, that's it. But all the other things, like the glass of water that he spoke about, and whatever it might be, the husband can advocate to get his wife's needs taken care of, and he says that's a very, very valuable benefit and should not be dismissed lightly. Another interesting thing, taking a woman's psychological situation, which I saw somewhere else, into consideration, is there's a Gemara in Shabbos of Kuf Chaf Ches, and the Gemara says there that you're allowed to light a candle even for a blind woman. If a woman is blind and she asks for a candle to be lit, you light the candle. She's blind. Why? Her mind will be at ease. Her mind will be at ease to know that everyone around her could see a little bit better. For that, you light the candle. So the Chazon Ish, I saw in the letters of the Chazon Ish, I didn't see inside the Chazon Ish itself, but in the Igros Chazon Ish, he says this is the basis that a husband can accompany his wife to the hospital through the ambulance, whatever it might be on Shabbos, even though it might not truly be justified, but the calming her mind, justifies that as well. Okay, I got some questions, the email and phone calls during the week, which I didn't look into, wasn't the main topic of tonight. Maybe you've all experienced it, I haven't. But on Shabbos, when they want to put on the bracelet on the husband and the mother, someone asked me, is a problem on Shabbos because the Kesher Shel Kayma, it's a permanent bracelet. To get that thing off, you got to cut it off. I didn't look it up yet. Does anybody know about this? Anyone come across this that on Shabbos, can you put the bracelet on? It is pretty permanent. But it seems to be a problem. The Chod Rabbanon, it's not a Kesher, but it's a permanent, very strong, you know. Okay, that came up. I thought I'd share with the floor. Another thing that came up, I didn't see any in the post came to the opposite. I didn't look into this either, but we have to drive a woman to the hospital on Shabbos. The whole issue, can you turn off the car and or are you allowed to come home? You know, in America, the post came are very make with the Hatzalah, that any Hatzalah can come home the same Shabbos and go back and forth. They do the, but in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of the post came here are very machmir, and they only allow the, I think Rav Neuwirth even, says, no, it's only a one-way trip. So if a Hatzalah man is called out, you know, 2 minutes after Shkia to bring a lady to the hospital, he's stuck there the whole Shabbos. In America, the post are more lenient based on Moshe Feinstein, but I just wanted to say, if a husband takes his wife to the hospital, I haven't seen any had to turn off the car. It seems you're not allowed to turn off the car. Anyone? Yeah.
To which hospital? In Kerem, yeah, because that's where I'm headed, in Kerem. Wonderful, wonderful. Problem solved.
Dolovich Emesh has an Arab diagram. He drives a fellow guy back.
Problem solved.
There's another issue that you should be aware of, though, is yeah. Tchum, yeah. As far as taking the bag outside the tchum. So, from what I understand, they tell people you not clear the bag before Shabbos, so that it's not credit shmisa anywhere. Otherwise, it would theoretically become
I went by a jeweler lined up for someone to help, and this woman didn't come on a Shabbos, and but she had a backup woman who would come if it got close to Shabbos. In fact, our baby was born a few weeks ago, 4 minutes before Shkia on Friday afternoon, almost evening, and the reason why she wouldn't come on a Shabbos because her rov wouldn't allow her to come back, but the other woman held a different rov who allowed her to come back on a Shabbos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, with the Tzalah uses in America. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's a big Kiddush. No, because Rav Moshe is a big Kiddush. Rav Moshe takes, there's a thing in Shulchan Aruch when you go out to war. You're familiar with the Israel go out to war. It says the soldiers are allowed to come back. But seems over there, all the things being discussed, the soldiers coming back, are Yisrael Drabanon. Rav Moshe, I
haven't seen this tshuva in many years. But if I remember correctly, Rav Moshe takes that Sim in that sip and Shulchan Aruch and adapt it to Hatzalah and allows him to come back.
There's a lot like he's saying, the woman won't go because she knows she's not allowed to come home. So if you have a Hatzalah guy who's not drawn, he thinks 10 times, when it's 10 minutes into Shabbos, he thinks 100 times, should I go on the call, should I not go on the
call? Right.
And the Moshe holds that if one person dies because of that, then it's not worth it.
The whole thing's not worth it.
That's why he went out of his way to write this tshuva.
It's very sure.
Very sure.
Yeah, because it's talking about the Rabbanons. That yeah, specifically, yeah. Because I know the Shulchan Aruch. I know from Shulchan Aruch. Because the Moshe is Bichlal, is a big Kiddush. The Moshe is the place of North America.
Even in America, there are different, not all the
Torahs. Yeah?
And different people take it to different extremes. There are people that take it to the cooler extreme. An old fellow was a Hatzalah guy, and when there's an ice storm, he goes out to clean his car off just in case he gets a Hatzalah call.
Really?
He'll be able to go. So the shach is that when there's a Hatzalah call, the ice storm, he's the first guy there. question is, the heter is very weak, because how do you know there's going to be a hot soul for you? You're not going to go through it all. Unless you assume it's such a community, like Baraban Flat, which every week are generally...
So anyways, in conclusion, there's different opinions when a woman becomes a nida. Some say when the water breaks, some say it's only when she sees blood, and some say once she's put on the bed, you have to assume she's a status of a nida. Being present in the delivery room, it seems that most poskim do not outright oppose it. They permit it with different degrees of reservations and hesitancy. Rav Moshe seems to say that if a woman demands it, most poskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman, say if a woman demands it, they're allowed to be there. But a woman who's in the delivery room, she's a nida then by all accounts, and he cannot help his wife physically in any way. You have to ask the doctor and the wives, the midwives, and if he's going to be there, he's not allowed to watch the baby emerge from the birth canal. You have to be careful for that, to position yourself in such a way that you don't see it, or yourself, or through the mirror. And we'll end over here. My wife is due Rosh Hashanah. That's why we're not having any shurim during Tishrei, because between Chol HaMoed and Tzom Gedalia is on a Sunday, and there's Chol HaMoed, and my wife is due somewhere in between there. So this year's going to be a Yom Kippur Shabbos, I think, this year. No chillin' this year. You're going to miss a chillin'. Oh, it's a good question. Tune to me, guys. I got to look this stuff up.
Why are the coins so poor? I'm saying all the television programs, the videos, you know, the white.